Psalm 105 and verse 4. Psalm 105 and verse 4. Exhortation there for us. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. May the Lord add His blessing to His word this evening. This is a nice three-part outline there for us. Seek the Lord, seek His strength, seek His face evermore. Last week we looked at seeking the Lord. Seeking the Lord is the Christian's first and foremost duty. It is our duty to seek the Lord. For years I had a wrong purpose in seeking Him. I would read His Word, study His Word, memorize His Word, meditate on His Word with the hopes of gaining insight. And then I realized the purpose is not insight, the purpose is intimacy. God wants an intimate relationship with every single one of us. So we seek the Lord. Seek nothing else, settle for nothing less. Seek the Lord. The second point there is to seek His strength, and that's what I want to talk tonight about, seeking the Lord's strength. Would you please notice 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness." Notice that. My strength is made perfect in what? Weakness. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities," or my weaknesses, "that the power of Christ," we could even say the strength of Christ, "may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I," what? "Strong." For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Boy, that's just the opposite of what we think, right? When we're strong, we're strong. No, he says, when we are weak, then we are strong. First thing that we need to do here is to establish the principle. The principle is that the extremity of weakness becomes God's opportunity to help. Our weakness becomes God's opportunity to help us. My strength is made perfect, Paul said, in weakness. And so to be strong in the Lord, we must be weak in ourselves. That shows that all the power comes from the Lord, comes from Him. Psalm 116 and verse 6 says, "I was brought low and He helped me." I was brought low, I was brought down, I was brought low and He, that's speaking of God, God helped me. Low here means feeble. He said, when I was brought feeble, when I came to a place of weakness, then the Lord helped me. Helped here means He got me the victory. So I want you to picture that. When I was brought to a place where I was weak and feeble, the Lord got me the victory. How difficult is it to sometimes come to that place where we realize our weakness and to see how feeble we are? But only as we come to that place in our lives, when we come to that point, can the Lord come then and give us the victory. He got the victory. Without the Lord, we are physically and spiritually helpless. The woman with the infirmity for 18 years could not so much as lift herself up. The impotent man by the pool was helpless to put himself in the healing water when the angels came around to touch it. The layman had to be carried to the gate beautiful of the temple and sit there daily. The disciples were helpless in the storm. The father of the demoniac could not help his son. The disciples could not feed a hungry multitude. Paul and his companions had no hope that they would be saved on the sea. No one can come to Jesus except the Father draws him. When we were without strength, Christ died for us. Do you see that the extremity of weakness becomes God's opportunity to help? He got me the victory. We sing that old song, "The Lion of Judah shall break every chain and give to me the victory," again and again. The Lion of Judah shall break every chain and give to me the victory, again and again. Number two, let's examine the process. The effeminacy or the powerlessness of man. The powerlessness of man. Why is it that Christians lack the power? You know, we talk about having spiritual power and how we need the Lord's power. Why is it that sometimes we lack it? Well, there are a number of reasons. Sometimes we lack God's power due to sin and unbelief. In fact, it was because of sin and unbelief that Israel could not stand before their enemies. There's a lot of verses. Let me just give you one here. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 37. It says, "And they shall fall one upon another, as it is were before a sword, when none pursueth, and ye shall have no power to stand before your enemies." God was talking to his people there. Because of sin, because of unbelief in the ranks, God says, you won't even be able to stand before your enemies. You'll have no power, no strength to be able to even stand before them. Unbelief rendered the apostles helpless to contend with satanic forces. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 18, his father said, "Wheresoever he taketh him," his son, "these evil spirits, he teareth him and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spoke to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." Jesus continually rebuking his disciples for their slowness to believe and because of their unbelief. He said in John chapter 15 and verse 5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." But then he says, "For without me, you can do nothing." Without me, you can do some things. Now, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you are helpless. You are powerless. You are without strength. So we have to realize that all of our strength, all the power that we have, comes from the Lord. And so it is so vital to be abiding in him as the branch abides in the vine. Because if we are not abiding in him, we can do nothing. Another reason for the powerlessness of the Christian is broken covenants. Broken covenants. A broken covenant stripped Samson of his great strength. In Judges chapter 16 and verse 17, "that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." So Samson says, if I break this covenant, if I have my head shaved, I break the Nazarite vow, then I will lose my strength and I will be like any other man. You know, I just wonder, and if there's anybody that is divorced here tonight, I'm not out to criticize you, but with the ease it is to get divorced nowadays and with a number of Christian couples doing it, I wonder if they realize in breaking the covenant they're losing their spiritual power, losing the strength that God has for them. Something to think about. We don't want to lose our strength. We don't want to lose our power. God says if we break covenants, We lose our strength. We lose our power. Another reason why we lose power is because of apostasy. Backsliding. Forsaking the Lord. Do you know that apostasy once produced a nation of cowards? I mean, would you equate the two? But in 1 Samuel chapter 17, there was this guy by the name of Goliath. Remember him? He would come out and he would threaten the Israelites. Send somebody out to fight me. And every day the Israelites would clank their swords and they would give the sound of the battle cry, and then they'd run the other way. They'd retreat. It says there in verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, when they saw Goliath, fled from him and were sore afraid. What was going on in the nation of Israel? That there was apostasy. David couldn't believe that there wouldn't be one person that would stand up for God. Not one person in all of Saul's army would stand up for God. And David says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Really, what he was doing was defying God himself. And there wasn't a man to stand up. And so the boy did, David did. He wasn't afraid. But he wasn't living in apostasy. He was living in revival. And it, you know, a good checkpoint here once in a while. If we start noticing that we are afraid to speak for the Lord, to stand for the Lord, could it be because there might be some apostasy, some falling away, some in our life? Apostasy will cause us to lose our strength. And then sometimes we are rendered powerless by God's design, so that he can prove himself strong. That was the case of Paul in the passage that we read. And Paul says in the middle there, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet. That word buffet literally means to beat with fists. So Paul says, there was given me a messenger of Satan to beat me up, to beat me with his fists. But Paul saw that God's grace was sufficient in all of this. And through this, yes, he recognized his weakness, but he said, when I am weak, when I'm getting punched out, then am I strong. God's grace is sufficient. Number three tonight, we want to explore the possibilities. The possibility that God enables God to use weak instruments to accomplish great results. God uses weak instruments to accomplish great results. This means, first of all, that there is a door of usefulness that is open to all. Nobody's excluded. You can't say, God can't use me because I'm weak. You can't say that. Nobody's excluded. Because God uses weak things. God uses foolish things. God uses base things to demonstrate his wisdom and his power. 1 Corinthians 1:27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Do you know, if we were to open God's instrument case, we would see a lot of weak and insignificant things in there. We would see God, how God one time used a rod. We could see how in God's instrument case, a jawbone of a donkey. We would see in God's instrument case, five smooth stones, a handful of meal, a little oil, a cloud the size of a man's hand, the mustard seed, five barley loaves. See the things that God uses? Hey, if God can use a rock, he can use you. If God can use these insignificant little things, surely he can use me. None of us are exempt from God's power. No matter how weak or insignificant we might think ourselves to be, God uses these kinds of things to accomplish great results, and that shows that the glory is all his, the power is all his. As we explore the possibilities, we also see, number two, that victory in the midst of suffering is possible. It is possible for you to live a victorious life in the midst of any suffering. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in these sufferings, in these infirmities, in these reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. 2 Corinthians 13:4. So there's a door of usefulness that's open to all, even the weak. The power, the victory in the midst of suffering is possible. That's what we really talked about this morning, how you can rise above suffering. You can get on top of your burdens. You can let God make something of them, make something of you. But then also, number three, the power of Christ is available. That the power of Christ may rest upon me, Paul said. That word rest is interesting. It means like a tent spread out over the ground. That the power of Christ might be like a tent spread out, covering me. We would all agree that there were some great men and women of God in the Bible, would we not? How many of you have read Hebrews chapter 11, that great Hall of Faith chapter? Those were great men and women of God, weren't they? You want to aspire to be like them. Toward the end of that chapter, it says that there were many others who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions like Daniel, quenched the violence of fire, probably like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, escaped the edge of the sword. But here's the part we often miss. Out of weakness, we're made strong. These great men of God, these great women of God, out of weakness, were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. You see, any great man or woman of God, any person who has been used mightily of God, recognize their weakness first. And through their weakness, the power of Christ was able to come upon them and demonstrate his strength and power in their lives. Number four tonight, we want to enter into the provision. Enter into the provision. This enables us to trade our weakness for God's power. That's what Paul did. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, I'll keep them, or I'll trade them, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We talk about spiritual power. We sing that chorus, we've got the power in the name of Jesus. Though Satan rages, we will not be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. When we talk about power, or we sing about power, what do you envision? What do you envision that power to be practically in your life? I just went through the scriptures, and I've got just three or four things that I'd like to mention here in closing about what spiritual power is according to the Bible. First of all, it's the courage to rebuke. In Micah chapter 3 and verse 8, he says, but truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment and of might, to declare unto Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin. What's he saying? He's saying, I am full of power to rebuke, to show Jacob his transgression and Israel his sin. Now, that's not one of the favorite pastimes of mine. I don't really like correcting people and rebuking people. But sometimes that is the power of the Lord to come upon a person to be able to give a correction or even a rebuke. And here's the test. A lot of times, when it's given, it's received. And then you know God is at work. Glenn, thank you for your testimony. A rebuke. That was the power of Christ working through an individual and you receiving it. That's a great testimony. A lot of people don't receive rebuke too well. They don't take correction too well. But this courage to rebuke is spiritual power. Number two is the ability to speak with authority. God's power enables men to speak with authority. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 33, it says, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." If you have the power of God, then you are able to speak with authority. You know, the people marveled at the teachings of Jesus because they said he spoke as one who had authority, not as the scribes and the Pharisees. They didn't have any anointing behind their words, but Jesus, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ, he had the power of God behind his words. And people took notice with what Jesus spoke. Oh, that God would give us the power to be able to speak with authority. That people would believe us. That people would come to Christ when we witness to them of the resurrection of Christ. That's really what we need. That's the power that we need. Power to lead people to the Lord. To speak with that kind of authority. And then spiritual power also fills the life with healing influences. Fills the life with healing influences. God uses you to heal people. It might be physical. It might be spiritual. Acts chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them." And finally, this comes with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Spiritual power accompanies the baptism in the Holy Spirit. There's a number of verses again we could give. Acts 1:8 is the one I'll leave with you. "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." I would just encourage you this week now to seek the Lord's strength. It says you sought the Lord last week in that intimate relationship with him. This week, seek his strength. Enter into his provision. And pray for spiritual power to be in your life. That you would have courage. That you would speak with authority. That you would be filled with healing influences. And if you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, make it a goal this week. Make it a priority. Say, "Lord, would you please baptize me in your Holy Spirit? Would you please give me the power that it comes with it so that I can be an effective witness for you?" That's the main purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Power. Power to tell others about Jesus. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed tonight? If you think you are weak, you are a candidate for his strength. Maybe you're here tonight and you realize your weakness. You realize that without the Lord, you are physically and spiritually helpless. He's got you right where he wants you tonight. If that's you, if that's where you are, he's got you where he wants you. Because the extremity of your weakness becomes God's opportunity to help you. Because you have gotten to that point, you give him the chance to get you the victory. Tell the Lord tonight what you need. Tell him tonight what only he can do for you. And then consider the possibility that God might want to use you and demonstrate his power through you. And say, "Lord, I will take any doors that are open that I might be useful. Lord, I will covet your power to rest upon me. And as your power comes upon me, I will be courageous. I'll be bold and courageous I'll speak up for you. I'll speak with authority. I'll share healing influences with others. I wonder if there's any tonight, you have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you're going to make it your goal this week to pray for that to happen. I wonder if I could just see your hand so that I could pray with you, and hopefully next week we could have a testimony how it happened. Raise your hand nice and high. Amen. 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 Lord, we thank you for those hands tonight, and Lord, we ask that you would fill and baptize those that we'll be seeking this week. Lord, baptize them with the Holy Spirit and with power. Lord, I just pray that you would use every single one of us. Lord, you are a God of diversity, and we are people of diversity, that you would use us in diverse ways. Lord, it doesn't matter how, but we simply pray, Lord, use us. Lord, give us your strength. We seek it tonight. We seek your strength. We seek your power. For without you, we can do nothing. And may your power rest upon us all like a tent. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious pleading side. Depths of love that I cannot know till I cross a narrow sea. There are hearts of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious pleading.